Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm your host. My name is Bruce, and we're talking about pizza. Today, my guest is Sean. He owns three pizzerias in the Tampa, Florida area, and we talk all about business. We also talk a little bit about insurance, and not in a boring way, but he had one of his restaurants catch fire, took 31 months to rebuild, and we talk a little bit about that process and the importance of having good insurance and what you can do and handling that process. It's not a huge part of this podcast, but I think it's a definite topic that we haven't covered too much in the past. And we just happened to stumble upon that topic in this podcast. We also talk about third-party apps and should you try and convert those customers? Is it actually even worth trying to convert those customers? Community outreach, how to get the most sales you possibly can for the most profit. A lot of great information on this podcast. Don't you forget that SPM Magazine is coming out shortly. Go over to smartpizzamarketing.com, sign up for the free version of the digital magazine with a limited print run. We're going to make this the best magazine we possibly can. It's a magazine for pizza people, by pizza people, and we want you to be included. If you have an idea, a suggestion, a topic, you want to be a contributor, you've always wanted to write for those other magazines that shall not be named in this podcast ever again, but you never got the chance to because you're not part of the club, well, reach out to me. Maybe we can help you be part of our club, the club that everybody's a part of. Bruce at Smart Pizza Marketing is my email. You can also go over into the contact page on the contributor button on smartpizzamarketing.com to kind of set up yourself for that. All right. Before we do get into the podcast, which is a really good one with Sean, I have to say thanks to a couple people in businesses that make this possible. First off, Pizza Cloud, the phone solution and internet backup designed to make your pizzeria better. If you've ever had Friday nights where you like thought you lost phone lines for a few minutes, it was really quiet and not busy. Your phone lines probably went down for 5 or 10 minutes and you didn't even know about it. Pizza Cloud helps you have that problem never again. If you have Pizza Cloud, you will never have that problem again. They have a cellular backup. So your internet ordering, your credit card processing, your phone lines are always up and running, and you never have to worry about it. You never have to lose sales because your phone lines went down. That's ridiculous that that's even a problem, but it is. And Pizza Cloud helps you solve that. PizzaCloud.net, if you want to check out some more information about how they can help you. They're also a very great technology company, and they have AI ordering, voice ordering, tons of great stuff that they're working on over there. Again, PizzaCloud.net, go check it out. And of course, podcast wouldn't be complete without talking about Baccio cheese, my favorite cheese that I've been using for a long time now. They've been supporting the podcast. I've been using this cheese at home. It makes great pizza. It makes great calzones. It also makes great things like chicken parm. So if it's not just the pizza cheese, you can use it in your recipes for chicken parm, for eggplant parm. You can use it in your calzones, all of that great stuff. BaccioCheese.com/SPM to go request a sample, try it out in your pizzeria. I guarantee you're going to love it just like I do. You're going to love the flavor, the look, the feel, how it spreads on the pizza and how it melts. It's also such a great product. BaccioCheese.com/SPM to get yourself on that. All right, let's get into the podcast with Sean and we'll see you on the other end. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Sean, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, we did it.
I know, we finally did it. Thanks for doing this. I'm excited to talk to you about what you got going on. Before we get into all that, let's just give tell us who you are, what you do, and where you do it.
Yeah, so we're Three Brothers Pizza. So we have three locations in Tampa, Florida. We kind of actually make a perfect triangle ordeal with the mileage between all three restaurants. And we started in 2015, and it's crazy. You're coming up. It's over 9 years already, which is nuts.
Wow. Are you originally from Tampa?
No. We're from New York. So we brought that hustle down here, you know? So
that's, yeah. I love that. How do you like living in Tampa?
It's awesome, man. Just the growth alone. I mean, just from 2015, we came before everyone else started to come, before COVID. Yeah. And to see the growth in Tampa alone is just, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. It's the best move ever, because I have kids too. So it's like, this is the best move ever. Get out of the Northeast, get out of the snow. And right now it's 60 degrees right now. So it's like, I got to rub it in. You're in a hoodie right now. So it's like, I'm just going to go outside with shorts and a t-shirt.
I was just in Florida 2 days ago.
Nice. Where?
Yeah. I was on the Fort Lauderdale area.
Oh, nice. That's on the East Coast. Yeah, for sure.
So I was on the other side of the
So now you got to make your way over this way.
Yeah. The next time I go down, I'm gonna go to Tampa, Clearwater. Yes. I have some family in Clearwater, so that's kind of like around the Tampa area.
Hell yeah. Fun. Yeah, my restaurant, one of my restaurants not too far from Clearwater, so it's perfect.
So tell us, like, what style of pizzeria do you have? Like, what style of pizza do you do? I'll probably eat some New York pizza if that's the name of it.
Yeah, and absolutely. Then, yeah.
Is it like takeout, delivery? What is it?
Everything. Yeah. So my main store, our first store, is in Odessa. So it's basically like a sit down, takeout, delivery. No third parties in that location, and it's all catering and dine in and stuff like that. So you have that experience there, which is really cool. And then our Palm Harbor store is mainly takeout, and our Town and Country store is all takeout.
Okay. How did you open a pizzeria? Like, you came down, did you operate pizzerias or work in one in New York, and you guys just relocated down there?
I was actually an accountant. So the previous Harry that you had, yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, I was an accountant too. I wasn't a CPA because I had to go back to go back for 30 credits for my master's. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going back to school. You know, so he just made the cutoff. I didn't make the cutoff. So I got my years of experience in accounting. And then a friend of mine at that time had a pizzeria. And he says to me, we can open up a second location. You just got to learn everything about the kitchen. And then things just didn't work out. And then I came down to Florida. There was an opportunity in Florida in Odessa. No idea what Odessa was. I saw a couple of BMWs and Mercedes, and I'm like, this is a good area. This is great. And we bought it for $20,000. And that was my little dart in the wall and be like, we got this. We're going to make this work. I had $100,000 to work with. And not knowing what the hell I was doing in a sense of like operating and owning a pizzeria, but we figured it out. You know,
That's awesome.
I guess I was built for this for my parents, you know, so it's just everything led to another. And then also now we're here, three locations. We have over 60 employees and we're still grinding. We're still kicking ass.
That's great. So you opened the first one in 2015?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we started with, it was just me and my business partner. So I lived on his, that's what like a lot of people don't understand. Like people see success and they're like, oh my gosh, I wish I can be there. It's like, you don't understand the grind that it took me to get there. I lived on his couch for a month and a half. I only had $5,000 to work with. I had all this credit card debt, and we were just so focused on trying to break even as quickly as possible. And I didn't want to have anybody to, I didn't want to pay anybody to do the work. I'll do the work. So that's what I controlled my payroll so fast. And that's why we got break even. And then things just started taking off. I literally went to door to door. I went door to door, business to business. Hey, do you like pizza? Yeah, here you go. Try it. You know, I still do that today. Yeah. And that's what makes us so different. It's amazing.
It's still a great way, like door to door, hand to hand combat. We call it is like this the best way to kind of get business now. Other than
it's the word of mouth.
It's free too, right? Like other than just your own time and effort.
Exactly, exactly. And that's that person to person that people are so desperately looking for. Still, it's that connection to connection. Is social media is great. It's just an easy way to get access to all the customers. But when it comes to go ahead and building that connection, people thrive on it. And that's what I want to like talk to you about is just having that person-to-person contact with a lot of these people and getting to know them as their families and getting to grow up with their kids. It's just, you start building up those core memories, and it's just, it's that loyalty that we had in the Northeast, and it's not down here. And that's what's insane to me. When I was a kid, it was just always, they knew our name. You know, it's like, oh, you're getting a cheese pizza today? Are you extra cheese today? It's like you automatically knew it. You're part of the family. And that's what we brought down here.
So when you opened your first location, how long before you opened the second one?
This was so crazy. So in the very beginning, we were like, we got to open up number two really quick. And then it just never worked out. And so right before COVID in 2020 is when we opened up the second location. This was on January 31st in 2020. And
oh, my God.
It was nerve wracking. Like it was like crazy already because this was more than $20,000. We hit a gem mine. Like there's no way in hell I was going to get any other restaurant whatsoever for $20,000. You know, so it's difficult to buy the first one at so cheap and then try to look for the second one for that same price. It's like, it's unheard of. So we spent $135,000 on the second one. And it was just like, oh my God.
Was that an existing location?
Or yeah,
you built from scratch.
Yeah, so like our model was I could turn a failing restaurant into a successful restaurant. So I just got to sit there. Yeah. It's the cheapest way, the way that we look at it. We just got to kind of mold ourselves in that restaurant and then make it our own. And that what I thought was the model, but now we had a fire. I'll tell you about that in 2020. We had a fire in our main location, Odessa. And now I understand why people gut the entire restaurant and rebuild it. And build it for your own. And it just makes total sense to do that once you have the capital to be able to do it.
Yeah. What happened to the fire? How did the fire start?
It was 4th of July. It was two bottle rockets.
Oh,
and,
really?
We had a shed that was in the back, and all of our catering stuff, all our catering supplies. So we had like files, and, you know, we have to deal with hurricanes down here. So I had wood for Hurricane Irma. So we had wood in there. We had file. We had a lot of stuff that was very flammable that was in there. And a bottle rocket landed. It was literally this much, and it landed right in between the crack and right into the shed.
Oh, my God.
And then we were open because we do a ton of catering, and especially in our area. 4th of July is a busy day. So all of a sudden we're smelling something. Right? What is that smell? We probably left something in the oven. We look at all the ovens and there's nothing. And then in the back door, it was bright orange. We're like, what the hell? We try to push it and it was hot as hell. And then, that was it. It was, and then also the fire took over the whole entire building. And I was just sitting there just in a daze for like 15 minutes, just wandering the restaurant as the smoke was pouring in, not even realizing that the smoke was pouring in. And then my only thought process was the only way for this fire to get in here is that crack through that back door. So I'm throwing cold water because I'm an idiot, thinking cold water is going to be the difference between hot water. So I'm literally just splashing it. And then also the cop came in and says, what the hell are you doing? Get the hell out. So I got out, left everything inside my phone. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have to contact your insurance, your attorney, your landlord, let him know what's going on. It's a holiday. No one's answering.
Wow. Everybody goes, okay, safe.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone made it out. Yeah, for sure. So that was our biggest thing. My manager was the only one who was thinking like logically. He was shutting everything off, checking all the ovens, grabbing stuff. And I'm just sitting here wandering around like, what the hell's going on?
You always think you're going to be able to think rationally in a situation like that, but then it just kind of goes out the window when it happens to you.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then you sit there and look at it. It's like, I have 5 years in this and it's all gone. And it's just like, you're like, oh my God. So now my hands are in the insurance company. So now the insurance company is that's why I want to talk to any other pizza operators, because it's bound to happen to somebody else. Right. So our hands were all in on our insurance company and giving us the right way, the right passage on what to do. And our policy was already maxed out. Looking at it now, it's like, know your insurance policy. And we are now insurance agents, basically, you know, it's just like looking at it. And it's just, we're not in the greatest of hands. And just thank God I signed a new policy 2 months before the fire with business income and business interruption that saved our ass. Cause without that, I mean, we're successful restaurants. So we were very, very, very fortunate to have that business income, business interruption. That's what saved our ass for sure.
Wow. How long from the fire to reopening?
31 months.
Wow. Holy crap.
So there's so many different factors in it. So there's litigation that happened. There's finger pointing here and there. It was a freak accident. All the investigation said it was a freak accident. Nothing was intentional. The landlord wants us to sign a new lease, and we're locked in on a lease. So we are not in any way to re-sign a lease. And that's what potentially caused a delay. And so, yeah, 31 months. And we were getting very close. We only opened last year in Odessa. So this was February 1st of last year is when we reopened.
Wow. I can't believe that. That's a long time, huh?
Yeah. So during that time, though, our customer base is like this. Like, we were locked in, ready to go. I did so much intention. That's what, like, our main marketing is intentionality. That's like the way I kind of think of it. Intentionality marketing is problems that happen within the community, like someone got into a car accident, we were the first ones there, like doing fundraisers right away. I fed during COVID, I fed the entire hospital on COVID floors completely free. I fed all the kids for free. We hit national news. I did give two free slices to every single kid for 2 weeks from 11 to 3. So like [S2] Wow. [S1] I do a lot of free food because I want people to just try our food. All you gotta do is try our food and I got you. And as long as we do our part and making sure that the service is there and the quality is always there, I got you locked in. And that's what we were hitting record highs during COVID. And that's what kind of saved our ass throughout the 31 months.
Wow. So back to the basics here, like, where'd you learn how to make pizza? I know you're working at pizzerias.
Yeah.
You're an accountant. So you weren't even really working at pizzerias, right?
Yeah, so I wasn't even my ways of cooking was looking at the instructions and be like, okay, throw in the microwave for 30 seconds. And then that was my way of marketing. No, I learned a lot from this guy in Pennsylvania, one of my friends. And he didn't teach me how to do pizza, but as far as the ins and outs of the kitchen, I was running the kitchen within a month and a half, 2 months. All you gotta do is just show me once and I'll figure it out. That's my brother and I are just very hands-on, and you can throw anything at us and we'll pivot and adjust and figure it out. So that's where I started. So this was in 2012. I graduated with my bachelor's in accounting, got a job right away, and I quit in 2014 and then started working for this guy for pizza. But he didn't teach me how to do pizza. So I had to learn from my business partner down here in Florida. But again, it's like you teach me how to do it, I'll figure it out.
So just tweaking. I mean, making a dough recipe is not hard. I mean, people are probably going
Right.
to give me some shit for saying that, but it's really not. It's just a couple of ingredients,
Correct.
and it's
The only
just the
thing that's
process that you tweak over time.
correct. Yeah. So the biggest difference down here is the humidity. Humidity is so bad here, and we have to age our dough longer, and we have to cool it down faster. So that's where we had to adjust it quickly through from compared to northeast to down here. But that's basically it. And we're constantly changing it. I want to go to Caputa and switch all my flour, because right now I'm doing all Trump. And I'm just trying to get healthier and more quality. And that's another branch that we have, is focusing on local ingredients and increasing our quality every step of the way. So that's like our next step, is trying to get a nice recipe down for that and switch our all Trumps over to that.
Now, let me ask you this, because I know there's like a whole thing about New York water, and I don't necessarily believe in that. But I do know, coming down to Florida, the tap water compared to what we have here, for me at
Right.
least, tastes different.
Yeah, it
Is it
sucks.
like a process to kind of what do you just use tap water in your flour
No, so
with your dough?
we have a sea salt filter. So that's what we use
Okay.
through that goes into our building, and that's how we filter all of our water. But yeah, the salt, it's sulfur and lime. That's what's really bad down here. It does mess with the dough for sure. But we filter our water. Besides that, it's just the process and the procedure of how you make the dough. I mean, people
Yeah, because
always
I
say
go
it's a
down
New
there,
York
like
dough.
I don't live down there, so I live in the Northeast, right? So
Right.
I used to use tap water like to make my coffee in the morning, and then I
For
go down
sure.
there on vacation. I make coffee. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, this
Yeah,
tastes like shit. And I just use tap
exactly.
water, and it like tastes so different.
Exactly. No, it's just we use a filtered water, so we filter everything, and maybe that's probably the difference. You don't really get too much of a sulfur, and the lime is very limited. So, but yeah, besides that, people say there's a couple, I'm not gonna lie, there's a couple pizzerias down here that say they use New York water. You see like the shipping to get it down here? I mean, if they do it, sign me up, I guess, right? But I mean, we go through like probably 20 to 25 flour bags just in Odessa, 50 pounders a week. So it's just like I'm thinking about the water content. I'm like, holy shit, that's a lot of water, dude. You got to have a tank in the back ready to go. So for them to
I
go
think
ahead and
you just need to filter the water, right? Like
that's
you
what I'm
don't need New
thinking.
York water. You just need like
For
the
sure.
pH levels and all that stuff in the water. You can filter that
Exactly.
and get it to where you want it to be without having to ship in water from New York. It's really just about like what's in the water.
For sure. For sure. I mean, you got that talking point too. They're like, oh, I get my water from New York. It's like a good talking point. So maybe that's what it is. Or maybe they get a gallon of water and they pour a little bit of splash in there and say it's New York water. They could do that too, I guess.
That's a new meme I'm gonna do on my Instagram channel. Like I gotta do something about like I use New York water. I gotta find something about that because
Yeah,
I don't know. I
that'd be
don't believe
good.
in that.
Yeah, for sure. No way. You don't need it.
So 25 bags of flour, was that your busiest location?
We do really well there for sure. And then it just keeps growing. I mean, we have a little bit slower a month in January, but now you got all the big holidays that are coming up. Like we're gearing up for Super Bowl. Valentine's Day is a really good day for us too. We do heart-shaped pizzas, and the customers just die for it. And so it's just my this is another thing I'm thinking about. So guaranteed pizzerias are always busy Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? So my thought process is, okay, so there's 4 weekends every single month. So I am guaranteed busy 15 out of 30, 31 days, guaranteed. How do I make it to where I'm busy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? So what my strategy is, every Thursday I do a fundraiser for all the schools. So every school is different. I hit a fundraiser, I do 15% of all my total sales. So that's another thing that drives even further. Is a lot of the customers, they go ahead and say, give me a flyer, or a lot of pizzerias, give me a flyer, and then you'll get a percentage of what you bring in, which makes total sense. People who take advantage, I don't deal with them anymore. But the total sales, I just need the customers, those two or three customers who don't order through us. They may be like, you know what? This pizza is fucking great. I'm gonna go order through them. So now I got every Thursday I'm busy. So now I just add another day to my months to where now I'm busy. Every other Wednesday, I do the text message. I discount my pizzas and on my sales go up 60 to 70% guaranteed every other Wednesday. And then I do a sale on Mondays and Tuesdays where I discount a little bit further. And then I do a text message once a month, the first Tuesday of the month, just to let everyone know, hey, just letting you know it's $10.99 for Mondays and Tuesdays. Just a reminder, every Monday, Tuesday, $10.99. So now my Mondays and Tuesdays are building up. So it's just like, okay, now I almost have every day of the week. I'm busy. I'm ready to go. And that's where, like my thought process is.
Now, let me ask you this, because I'm going to get some pushback from some people and say, all right, you discounting your stuff. Is that lower your profit margin, or are you trying to get much volume?
Yeah. So the only thing is, like, am I discounting every single time? No, but I just need those people who, because I'm raising my prices. My prices now for a large cheese is $17.95. So I just need them to order the other days that I don't have discounted, which is majority of my business anyways. Majority of my business comes from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There are no discounts Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Thursdays. Yeah. So Thursday through Sunday, I get full price. That's where all my volume is. I just need to increase the volume just to people who want discounts. So people who want Domino's and Papa John's, I can't compete with their pricing, but I can get pretty close with all the quality. And now I give them another opportunity of just going ahead and ordering on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I might get them twice a week now.
Right. And then you also get the information because you're sending out text messages, and I'm sure you're doing email and stuff. So
that's our main focus now is just, I just need to obtain your email and I need to obtain your phone number, and I'll do whatever it takes. I just saw like the podcast that you just said with Perry. It was like, if I can give a $25 gift card to the customers that haven't ordered in 90 days. And then my brother's like, why would we do that? It's so much money. I'm like, no. So like, I just need to get them to order again. That's it. So it's, if I get them to order again and they order once a week or once a month, that paid for it already.
Yeah. Because your food cost is only your $25 gift card. That's only really $15 worth of food.
Yeah, maybe
that's
less. High end. Maybe yeah. less. Yeah. Because now our prices are a little bit higher. See, the only thing is down here, the insurance went so high. I had to drastically increase my pricing right away. My insurance almost tripled. Because insurance companies, what I'm thinking is insurance companies are leaving Florida because it's not a money making machine anymore.
Because there's so much stuff going on down there.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. Yeah. And everyone's moving down here, and it's just so many lawsuits and stuff like that. So it's just like, yeah, we're out. So now now we're paying the price for it. So now we've got to get creative.
Who are you using for text messaging?
So I use my POS system called Revel. So Revel is partnered with Twilio. So we go through Twilio and they do the text message that's partnered in with Revel. And they also have an email program Revel? Too. See, I do. They're very costly, man. My brother is a Revel fanatic. So he basically, he helps them out. So he gives them all these problem solves and all these issues that we have. And they adjust it per what my brother says. Cause my brother is very smart when it comes to tech stuff. So we're kind of like locked in. I want to try FooTech. And I really want to try them because what I want to be able to get to is the customers who are having a bad experience, get them to email us first and not go to fucking Google. I hate them so much. It drives me crazy because they don't ever answer. They don't give you any information. They just said service sucks. It's like, well, what happened? Like, talk to me. Like, I'll fix it. I'm a small business. I'm not a corporation, and I'll tell you that I will fix it. If we fucked up, I'm going to tell you we fucked up. You know, let me fix it for you. But it's just like, you got these keyboard warriors, as they say, you know, it's just, but if I can get to them beforehand, that'd be great. You know, so that was like one of the things that I'm really trying to push my brother to do, but he's very set on his ways. And I understand.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you get comfortable, right? Like, you get comfortable with a system that you've been using and all your staff is comfortable. And
that's the biggest thing is the staff. And now trying to change it again. I used to use HarborTouch and that was such a nightmare. It's old school. Yeah. They took advantage. The credit card processing was just insane. And we switched over right to Revel. And even that period was very difficult, you know, because we were busy, but not as busy as we are now. But it's just Revel's good. I'm not knocking them. Yeah. It's you get the bang for your buck. They have a lot of stuff, a lot of reports. They're very assertive when it comes to customer support. So they handle a lot of stuff, a lot of issues right away. So they do a great job.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've never had a POS. I've never asked a pizzeria owner about their point of sale system. And like, I fucking love everything about it. Right, it's always like, I like this, but I don't like this. I like this. And no system's perfect, right? Like FooTech, the reason I, you know, they're a sponsor of the podcast now, but they're a sponsor of the podcast because I used it and I knew how to use it and leverage it. They're not cheap. They're a little bit pricey and they're expensive, but it depends on like what you want to use it for. I find that in my experience, if I pay a little bit more, but it does everything inside of one ecosystem, I'm more likely to use the stuff in that ecosystem.
For sure.
If I have to like use this company for text, this company for email, this company for reviews, but it's cheaper, I'm less likely to do it. And if I'm less likely to do it, my business isn't going to grow. So if I have to pay a little bit more to have it all kind of in one system, that's what I would prefer. And that's kind of why I used FoodTech and I suggested. But like I understand that.
There's, I mean, that totally makes sense, like because it. Like the busier you become and you're not organized, the chaos is here, man. It's coming. You know, so it's like that's where we're trying to simplify our procedures and everything and just trying to get under one umbrella. And again, if I have to pay extra, that's fine. I just need to get organized.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like the same thing with social media too, right? Like I do all these social media reviews and it's like, all right, you want to really just Instagram. If you really want to grow on Instagram, you got to post once a day at least and then 6 to 8 stories. And people are like, what? How can I post that much? And I'm like, well, you don't have to, but if you're asking me how I grow on Instagram, I'm telling you this is how you grow on Instagram. You don't have to do it, but if you want the results that you say you want, this is what you got to do.
Yeah, they just want you to do it.
Well, they don't even want me to do it. They just don't want to do it. And they think they can post twice a week and like get exponential growth, and it just doesn't happen that way.
Right, right.
It's like saying you want to have a $2 million pizza shop and you want to open twice a week. You're like, you can't do it.
Exactly. The
numbers just aren't there.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, it's all expectations versus what you are willing to put in the work for. So
for sure,
you know, but that's cool. I think Revel is one of the system that people have mentioned on the podcast before. They've been around for a long time too, and they're more restaurants than pizzerias, I think, aren't they?
I think they're leaning towards more pizzerias now because they have a lot of the pizza like half and halves and stuff like that, whereas a lot of the other POS systems don't even have that. Online ordering is huge. Like they have a huge presence in online ordering. And the delivery aspect of it is really cool. It's just like Uber. You can see your driver literally pull up to your house as long as they have the app on, and it just slows everything down. It's a really good system. They did a good job.
Do you have your own delivery drivers?
Yeah. So we did a couple different tests. So our Odessa store, I have no third parties whatsoever. I don't need them. I hate them. I hate third parties so much. And if they steal your information, it's like, I need to talk to the customer. It's like, I have to sit on hold for 20 minutes to ask them one fucking question. And it's in Odessa, I don't have to sit there and worry about it. Call the customer. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, but our Palm Harbor store that does good volume too, almost the same amount of pizza, but less on sales because of the dine-in. We do third party and we do our own delivery. So we're obviously busier on our end than the third party, but the third party is just kind of like an add-on in a sense. I just increase everything to 30-35% and calling it a day. And I don't give a shit. They're basically paying for a large cheese pizza like $24. And it's like, well, that's what you get. So, you know, order through us next time.
I don't even think the people who use those third party apps are different than the people who call you directly.
Correct. Correct.
They don't care about the extra. Like,
that's the thing too.
They'll get a 20-ounce soda delivered that costs them $10.
No shit. And so I'm trying to figure out like how do I try to convert those customers to our own customers. And so we gave a free large cheese pizza. I got like two out of it. So it's like, okay, that was a fail. You know, so it's even that, it's just, it is what it is. And then our third location, I do no delivery in-house. I just do all DoorDash Drive. So I pay $10.99 per delivery. And then I pass like a $4 fee on to the customer to pay the delivery. So I pay the difference. And that's the only thing so I'm very limited on staff there. I think I have 5 staff there that operate the whole restaurant. And so that's like a different model. It's an express store, limited menu. And, it's doing okay. It's not as well as the other ones.
I wonder if like, you always hear people say, I want to convert third party to my own customers. And you hear all these gurus out there being like, all right, do this and do that and do this and do that. And I'm like, does that work? I don't know. Like, I always think about my kids. My kids are 22 to 16, right? So they're in like that prime technology era that they grew up with this technology. Like, they'll go to DoorDash and Uber and they'll get that stuff delivered. And they don't give a shit what kind of coupon you send them. They just want, they go to those platforms and be like, all right, what do I want today? Is it pizza? Is it a smoothie bowl? Is it ice cream? Is it a burger? And they go look for that specific thing.
Or all the above.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
And if they get it, they're not like loyal to any one brand. So if you do order, they do order from DoorDash and you get them a coupon for a free pizza, they may be like, oh, cool, a free pizza. But they're going to forget about it 2 minutes later.
Right.
So I wonder how you do, if that's something that we should even worry about anymore, or how do we optimize our third party app? So like when someone does search for us on there, we pop up first.
Yeah, you pay extra for it. I think the more, the faster you deliver it, the faster you get it ready, you prepare it, you get up there.
Yeah.
You move further up. The more people who order, the more specials or ads that you have, the more spending you do with the app, you move up. And the more like buy one, get ones, you move up. So it's like, that's how they move you up there. But like what I've noticed is I do so much when it comes to kids and schools and, like that early generation. So what I'm thinking is like, when you ask your kids, like I have my two kids, I'm like, what do you think about the Golden Arches? Oh, it's McDonald's. So it's like, okay, well, how do I get it to where if you think of pizza in that area, what do you think about? And
you.
Bingo. So it's like, now you start them at that age right away. And I'm giving them, so now we're doing another program right now is with all the honor roll kids. So every school that we do fundraisers for, which is 27 schools, I'm giving every single kid who's on an honor roll program for that month a free 12-inch pizza. And the feedback is insane. I'm getting them all the time. And you don't even have to purchase anything. You just come in. The kid gets a free pizza and the kid's on cloud nine. I did it, mom. And it's not even just like a certificate or reward anymore. They get a free pizza. It's a cool fucking deal. But then the parents start ordering. So that's where it's at.
I like that. And I've always suggested that. Like, I think that you should try to build up your brand. So like when, say my kid, right, who's 22, like if she wants to get a pizza, she's probably not going to go to the third party app because she likes the pizzeria that's down the street from me. So if she wants a pizza, she's going to go to there because they've done a good job of creating a good product. She knows what she can expect.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't know what she wants, like she just wants something, she's hungry, she wants something delivered, she's not really sure what she wants, she's probably going to go to that third party app first.
For sure. But
I've always talked about that. You need to build up your brand. So like you are the pizzeria to go to. So if they think of pizza, they just automatically think of you. They don't even go to the third party app.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And then it's just like all the school, other pizzerias that come, I try to go in there too. And it's like, I can give you a discount. I'm like, nah, we're good. We're sticking with Three Brothers.
You know what else we should do? We should come up with a way, I don't own a pizzeria, but like, I want to come up with a way for other people to use this idea of like, what about those kids who aren't A students? Like, fuck those nerds.
Right, right.
You know, like, what about the dumb kids who don't do good in school, but they're good kids? How do we come up with a platform for them?
That's a good idea. I'll talk to the schools about it. Oh, that's a really good idea. You know, so what
I know, like,
think outside the box, right? So it's just, well, can we feed the whole fucking school?
Yeah, like me, I was not an A student. I tried really hard, but I was just not interested in school. And I was never going to be an A student.
Right.
But I was like a good at sports. I was a good kid. I wasn't a bad kid, but I just wasn't ever going to be, I was 100% average or below average when it came to my grades, just because I was not interested in that.
Yeah.
So how do we reach those kids? I want to come up with an idea of how to reach those kids. Because there's got to be teachers in the school who are like, you know what? Bruce over there isn't an A-plus student, but he's a good kid.
Yeah, we could. I mean, that's the thing, too. It's like I have enough coupons to get handed out to everybody, to all the entire school. Like, I got 25,000 of them.
Yeah, maybe you just give them to the teacher and be like, you know what?
Bruce campaign. That's what I'm going to call it.
There you go. Tag me in it. I'll share it, too. We'll make it like a nationwide thing. Give it to the teacher and be like, you know what? I know that not every kid's an A-plus student, but hey, if somebody comes in every day, like shows up every day and tries hard, give them a free pizza. Like it's for a reward system for that week.
Love it. I love it.
There we go. I like that. So what's the plan for you guys? Is it like global domination? Are you guys going to open up as many stores as you can?
Thinking about it, like in the very beginning, that's what it was. It was just like, I'm going to open up 25 of these bitches and just fucking run out and just make billions of dollars. Now it's like, I'm scaling back, dude. I don't want to do this shit. Like, it's a lot of work. You know what I mean?
It's
just the busier you become, it's just the more headaches there are. And the expectations on these customers are just, they expect perfection. And it's like, you get one shot with them and that's it. You're gone. So it's just, I think right now it's just scaling it back, honing in, focusing on our customer base, and just grow our brand that way. And I'm completely okay with the three or, you know, the restaurants that we have now. You know, we finished last year with 3.5 million. So I'm okay with just, all right, how do we get these three to do four? because the amount of money that everything stays the same. So now the accountant comes in, right? So my rent stays the same. My insurance will go up a little bit. Food costs, we nail down. I have five distributors right now. So I'm making sure that I price check everything. Every single time I price check, and I make sure I grab the lowest price on everything. I probably, just my brother and I alone through Web Restaurant, which is, people should definitely go there. I pay $100 a month. I get free shipping on all my to-goes. I saved just in one location $50,000 last year.
Wow.
$50,000.
What are you buying from them?
Just all my to-go stuff. So like 7-inch tins, 9-inch rounds, 8-inch rounds, like stuff like that. I get my Frank's hot sauce. I get my Mike's hot honey. Literally anything that's like you could kind of think of to go besides my pizza boxes because they're so heavy.
Yeah.
But I get almost all my to-go stuff, like takeout stuff from Web Restaurant.
Wow, that's great.
People should definitely look into it, and I probably just blew that up, and there goes all my discounts. But I'm getting it cheaper than my distributors, man, because like I'm going over, they're asking me, how do we get more business from you? I'm like, well, listen, compete with this. Oh, that's below our cost. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you, dude. And every day I'm getting shipments in, you know, 9x9s, 9x6s, you know, everything. And I'm buying in bulk. So I'm buying, you know, three cases at a time to get that case price, you know?
Yeah. Because you know you're going to use it.
Yeah, of course. It's like, I have the cash flow to be able to do it. So now we just got to figure out storage. I mean, you should see our restaurant, like in our kitchen, there's like shelves everywhere at this point. I'm telling my brother, I'm like, all right, we got to put a shelf here. We got to put a shelf there. And, you know, just to make sure that we're getting the lowest of price and it's obviously showing.
Yeah. That's something that we were always struggled with too, because we didn't have a ton of storage space, but you knew that if you bought, especially as a single unit or two units or three units, like you, if you buy certain amount of volume, you're going to get a lower price. So you always kind of want to be able to do that. But then you come to like, all right, cash flow, I got to pay for all this out front. And then I got to be able to store it and not go bad or something happened to it where we just blew it all.
Yeah. So when we rebuilt the Odessa store, my main focus is like, okay, we need a big storage closet and go all the way up to the ceiling. So we have a rack that goes all the way up to the ceiling. And we just, I just stockpile all my souffle cups and everything in that storage closet. So it's a good opportunity if somebody, you know, even a storage unit, it might even pay off to buy a storage unit, to be honest. But, you know, you got to buy climate control, shit like that.
But you're a math guy, so it's easy for you to do.
I fucking love it. So, but you tell me to build something, it's like, Keith, that's my brother. I need you to build this. I can't do it.
That's awesome. So how often are you actually working in the store? Do you work in the store at all?
Yeah. So I'm basically in the Odessa store like 3 days a week, and then I'm in my Palm Harbor store one. And I go every other week to my Town and Country store. So,
and what do you do? Like, do you work in there? Or are you just kind of hanging out and seeing how it goes?
Yeah, I do everything. Like, we know how to do everything. That's the thing too. Like, when I first started this, that was my main focus, is like, I'm not going to have this old fuck trying to tell me what to do. And, or so go ahead and say, I need you to give me $30 an hour or I'm leaving. It's like, I'll do it myself, bro. I'm good.
Yeah.
So like, that's where our mentality is. So I love making pizza. I love cooking. And there's days where I don't need to cook. So then I'm organizing and I'm cleaning and I'm, you know, there's always something to do in the restaurant. The main day I do pizza is Friday. So I love my Fridays. I get my Fridays, I make pizza all day. I make them look beautiful every single time. I know the cost on it. It's like, this is perfect every single time on Fridays. So it's like, I get my moments of shine and then I have to, you know, go back to being an owner.
Yeah. You get to like check out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like my role today is just to make pizza. It's like, oh, you need, oh, someone's complaining. Huh? Georgie, you know, it's like, go talk to Georgie or something like that, you know?
Those were my favorite times. Like the times where you can like, cause being an owner never really turns off. You're there or not there. Or if you're in the store, like there's always somebody that needs
something.
Still going.
Like I had to put my obviously I saw the message, like put your phone on do not disturb. It's like, and I can't see it, but I can only imagine how many text messages and phone calls and shit like that. It's like, it's never
an off switch. It's not even that too. It's like, it's that, but it always seems like when I was in the store, they had more questions than if I wasn't, right? Like, they'd come up to me with, like, a silly question. I'd be like, well, would you text me that? And they're like, no, I just don't do it now.
Right.
Just because I'm here doesn't mean you can ask me a dumb question.
Right.
Like, if you wouldn't text it to me or call me with it, you would just figure it out. Like, just because I'm here, still figure it out.
Yeah. I think the generation is so different now. Like, my mom always said to, like, she said, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I'm like, wait till you work here. I'll tell you. Like, you know what I mean? But like when I was a kid, my parents worked. So I didn't get step by step on how to do everything in life. I had to literally, she told me, like, you got to figure it out, dude. Like, I helped you this long away. I got to get back to work, you know? But like, this generation is, it's, there's so much pressure as a business owner to mold these kids because their work ethic is not there. If you tell them step one, step two, and they're done, they will literally stand there until you tell them something different, until you start getting them into a routine. And it's like, if I did that at home, my dad would slap the shit out of me. like, what are you doing? You know, this garbage or this dishes. Wait, come on, boy. You know, so
you're almost raising the kids that work for you kind of too, because you're showing them work ethic. And
exactly.
Most parents nowadays are like, all right, they coddle their kids to get, they think their job is to like protect their kids at all costs. Sure. And not let them see anything that's bad or violent. Not that you want your kids to see anything violent, but like not expose them to anything in the real world. I always tell my wife, my job as a parent is not to like coddle my kids. My job is to make sure that whatever age my kid is, that what they want to move out of the house, they are efficient enough to be able to survive. Like, they know how to pay rent. They know how to pay bills. They know how to get a job and keep a job and live life, like go shopping and do everything that you need to do to be an adult. Like, that's my job as a parent, is to teach them how to do that. It's not to like hold your hand through everything. Like, you should be able to figure shit out on your own. Like, that's what you gotta be able to do.
And then like, so my Odessa store is I have a lot of kids there, and then my Palm Harbor store is the complete opposite. I don't have to worry about anything in Palm Harbor. They all talk to each other. I need this shift covered, and they all it works itself out. But in Odessa, it's just like, sometimes, you know. But then you see the progression, though. You see them when they first start, and then you see where they are now, because I have a lot of guys that have been there since we opened, you know, and to see their work ethic now, it's like, okay, there is a chance.
That's great.
Yeah, it's
good. This is great. This is a fun conversation. Where can people go if they want to say hello or visit you or go online? Where should they go?
They go to our Facebook page, Three Brothers Pizza. I think it's called Three Brothers NY is our Facebook page. Or you can go to Instagram, Three Brothers Pizza. We're in Tampa. There's a few pizzerias that are throughout the country that are called Three Brothers. That is not us. We're all in Tampa. So,
okay. And what's your website? ThreeBrothersPizza.com?
No, it's called the number 3BrothersNY.com.
Okay, yeah, I got it right here. Sorry. Number 3BrothersNY.com. We'll link all that up in the show notes too.
Cool.
So for this podcast, if you go over to Smart Pizza Marketing, your Facebook, Instagram, and your website. Final question, though, because I know you have three locations now. I was just looking at your website. This is a question that people get asked me all the time. Do you have one Facebook page for all locations?
So, all right. So what's so crazy is initially, yes. And then I branched off into doing three. And then it's like, I can't keep up with three. It's just too much, you know, trying to keep up with three. We have a team now that does our marketing, that's in-house. So, we're going back to doing separate pages. It gets kind of confusing when we have our main page and, people are like, oh, we can get that in Palm Harbor. It's like, no, we don't have a beer and wine license in Palm Harbor. You can only do that in Odessa. So it gets a little confusing, but we're leaning now towards separating everything and getting everything organized that way. Like, all of our fundraising pages are on every separate page. It's not on all one page, but it makes a hell of a lot easier doing one page. That's for sure. It's a lot of work.
Like, I don't know if there's like a right or wrong answer to that. I think it all is preference, right?
Yeah. And it's all like your time too. So it's just like, I don't know me. We're so busy because I say yes to everything, which kills me, but then it opens up so many damn doors when I say it. So it's like, I'm a yes man. So it's my time is like slowly going like this. And, but then there's opportunities like for example, say this one real quick. So we messed up this guy. This guy's name is Mike Calta. Okay. So he has a radio show in Tampa. He's number one radio show. He's the fucking man. During COVID, I fucked up his food. So I forgot chicken. There was doing Uber orders when we had Uber at the time. I forgot his chicken for his wife's salad. And then we make our cannoli. We make almost everything in house. We make our cannoli cream. And we got cannoli cream on his wife's tomatoes on his salad, right? So he calls, not a big deal, saying, hey, you guys forgot the chicken. Not a big deal. My GM's like, well, knowing who he is, we'll send the entire order back to you. Oh, great. Fantastic. Well, we didn't, because we fucking forgot because we got busy, right? So now Calta's on a live podcast with all these comedians, with Robert Kelly and all these people. So he's pissed, right? So he's like, I didn't even get my fucking food. My wife's upset, right? So he calls the restaurant cursing off my GM. And then my GM's telling me like Kalta's pissed. So now Kalta puts on Twitter, you have a better chance of eating good food out of a used kitty litter box than at Three Brothers Pizza, right?
What?
So he puts that out. Now I call Kalta. I'm like, yo, can we fix this? We mold things over, right? So the next, and like 2 days later, make all his food again, brought it to his house. I put all of his food in a kitty litter box. And then I put, and then I made a cannoli salad. So I put a bed of lettuce with all these mini cannolis on it. So since that day, we became really close friends. Well, I'm a Yankee fan. I know you're from Boston, unfortunately, but yeah, I'm a Yankee fan.
That's okay.
So all of a sudden he texted me saying, hey, David Wells just moved here. He needs food for his nonprofit, for his Perfect 33. And I was like, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, absolutely. So him and I are close friends now. So
that's great.
I do all of his catering for his foundation. And then that door opens up. So Toby Hall is a catcher for the Rays. So I'm friends with him now. And they did a bartending at my restaurant. We raised over $4,000 for these nonprofits.
Wow.
It's like all these doors open. We're feeding the Yankees on Saturday. So it's like there's so many. We fed the Blue Jays all last year. You know, so it's just like I say yes to everything, and then it's just we'll figure it out.
That's a great story, and I like that you, because my initial reaction was, what's the guy's name? Mike?
Mike Kalta, yeah.
I was like, wow, what a jerk, because if you could give me, I could order a pizza, and you could send me a chicken parm, and I won't say a word.
Right, right.
I just won't complain about anything, just because I worked in the restaurant industry. You probably are the same way. Like, when you work in the restaurant industry, You don't complain.
Yeah, if my food's like, cold, I throw the shit in the oven. You know, so I'm not going to call the restaurant. I'm just like, if food's cold, I want more back.
It's exactly. Like I'm just not going to complain. I may not go back, but I'm not going to complain or badmouth the place. So that's just my mentality.
So
but
we
like,
always,
a lot of people who aren't in the rest of the business.
Yeah, we
don't
always
do
turn
that.
The negative into a positive. That's what we're very good with that. We're very good on trying to make them laugh and make them like a part of the family. And then because of that situation, they're part of the Three Brothers family. Now that loyalty comes in, and then they start. So now that helps us out even more. So if there's a bad review from the neighbor, he's like, shut the fuck up. Three Brothers is great, man. Like, give them another chance, dude. They're busy. Like, that's what it is in our communities. It's just they all rally for us. And that's what the best part is. That's why if people are just intentional with their customers, the social media is great. But if people are intentional with the customers, you got a lifer, man. And that's what you want. You want those fucking lifers.
Yeah. And nothing's easy. Nothing comes quick. Social media or doing it like on a one-to-one basis, it still takes a while and
it's
a long-term play.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's freaking awesome. But I can't thank you enough for this opportunity, man. And I would love to come back
great
and tell
conversation.
You more. Or if you come to the restaurant, oh my God, it'd be fucking great. We can sit there and talk and shoot the shit and everything else. It'd be awesome.
I'll probably be down there again pretty soon. So we'll have to do a podcast live and we can hang out in the pizza shop and do that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
And you can try our food too. Our food's fucking fantastic. All our ground beef is all grass fed. It's local. And we go to a local produce too. So we got top of the line of fucking food. All of our raviolis we make in house. Lasagna's all made. It's fresh pasta. The manicotti's all fresh. Like, do we pour the, not only like we talk and have this great conversation and then the customer service is fantastic, but you can feel and taste the passion in our food. That's just what the reality of it is. There's no
microwave. The ingredients for a successful restaurant.
Yeah. Chef Mike is dead.
He'll be around for a while.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm like, Sean, thank you so much for hanging out with me here. Don't go anywhere yet. We're going to stop the podcast right there. Go over to smartpizzamarketing.com. We'll link up all the your website, your social media, and all that over on the blog post. But thank you so much for hanging out with me here today.
No, thank you for having me, man.
Thanks to Sean for joining me on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the podcast. You who are listening and hanging out with me here right now, appreciate it. Hit that 5-star review on Spotify, or if you're listening to this on iTunes, give me a review. Leave me a review. Tag me on Instagram. I'm at Smart Pizza Marketing. And again, go over to the website, smartpizzamarketing.com. We'll link up everything that Sean talked about on the website, or on this podcast, rather, over there. And then also sign up for SPM Magazine. Get on the email list. Our email is great. No spam. Just a great content and helpful content to help you get through the business week here. Whether you're owning or operating a pizzeria, it's going to be a great place for you. SmartPizzaMarketing.com. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. See you next time.